Well, graduates, you can crack open that brand new study Bible you have to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And the rest of you, crack open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. It is an honor for me to be able to do this. It's always an honor to preach God's Word and to handle God's Word. One of the things that I find it most just honoring about is to actually have a part, as Pastor Dan said, in the lives of these teenagers. You know, this represents a portion of our youth group. But this represents a portion that has achieved much more than just in our youth group. They've achieved completing 12 years of school and being able to graduate this year and move on to a next phase in their life. And along with that thought of moving on to that next phase in your life, I've kind of titled the message tonight specifically for you graduates, you need a side of responsibility with your freedom. Because you're fixing to enter into a new realm of freedom that you didn't really have as a child under your parents' home. Now, some of you are still going to be staying in your parents' homes, but as you're moving on and getting older, there's new freedom that is going to come with your life. But with freedom comes responsibility. Now, if you think about it, and the parents, I think you can might be able to relate a little bit to this, but every year since you were born, graduates, you've been able to be, or you've been given a little more responsibility year by year. One year you began to be allowed to eat on your own. And as we'll see later, some of you didn't master that real well. You know, your parents let you start feeding yourself. And then one year you were allowed to, and this is happening in our house, and it's quite an experience, go potty on your own. Yeah, you can move out of the diapers, woo-hoo, for the parents. But graduates, I'm sure some of that was a training experience that your parents have quite, you know, fond and funny stories to share. And then when you're allowed to go outside and play on your own, parents were giving you a little more responsibility, a little more freedom. One year you're actually allowed to go out and stay out after dark. Hopefully, maybe, maybe not. Graham's saying not yet. And then one year you were given the great responsibility, as we all ducked and hide, you're given the responsibility to drive your car. And some of you say not yet, but that's all right. It will come. Some of you choose not to. But what a great responsibility that was. And with it came some freedom, but a greater sense of responsibility. Today you're given more freedom as you begin preparing for that day that you're going to leave the nest for mom and dad and set out to make some choices completely on your own in your life. And you must know, or you must now choose yourself, kind of like one of the things I had to do, choose now to eat your vegetables as your side items, along with your meal. It comes responsibility. You can't just enjoy all the junk food. You know, as I left my home and my parents are here tonight and I had to quit eating, you know, I had to quit fighting with my mom to eat the vegetables. Now I fight with Miss Colleen to eat my vegetables. But it all still comes with responsibilities, things that you need to have in your life. But you've got to be responsible enough to choose to want to do what's right. And this can be a scary thing. But there's one thing you all have in common sitting in here tonight that you may not have in common sitting with those that you graduate with in the next few weeks. You that sit here tonight have been under some great Bible preaching in this church by some awesome pastors and some great men and women who have taught you in your small groups and your Bible studies from the Word of God, who have loved you enough to want to give you a firm foundation that you can build your life upon, that foundation of Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life. You guys tonight have that in common as being in this church. When you go and graduate, you know, amongst your peers, many of your peers don't have that foundation, but you do. And as you leave this stage of your life, your teen years, moving closer into your adulthood years, it can be scary, believe me. And I know some of you shared those fears with me. And as we're all here tonight, I think we can remember some of the things that we all went through and the fears that we've had in our lives as we've been given more and more freedom. And some of us, when it was time to leave the house, we weren't ready to leave the house. But yet we still had to. But here you guys have had many hours taught under the Bible, taught under some great pastors, been taught the Bible. You know, my desire for each of you graduates as you move into that next stage is much like the Apostle Paul here in Colossians chapter 1, as he prays, or he writes here the prayer that he had and the desire that he had for the Colossians. And as I've gone through and I've read Colossians and I've seen this, and the more I've read it, the more I said, man, that is my desire for our teenagers. And it's become a prayer of mine for each and every teenager in our youth group. And I wanted to share that with you all tonight. And as we look here at Colossians chapter 1, as I show you from my heart to the teenagers, but it's also my heart to every Christian, every member in this church, every person that's here tonight, it's my desire that we all become, as the Apostle Paul was desiring and praying here for the people in Colossae. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 9. And the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Tonight, graduates, I want you to stay with me, and I want to give you six things from this text. I know you say six things. Well, Brother Rob, how long are we going to be here? I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through them all because they kind of build on each other. But really, from these six things, I believe we see a pattern here that we should seek as Christians in our own lives to model. But the thing is no matter what I give you guys, giving you guys the Schofield Study Bibles, giving you a charge tonight, helping you guys to see and learn from the Word of God, it's not going to do anything unless you choose to apply it and seek God and Christ and who He is in your heart daily. It's got to be your choice, as it is all of us in here tonight. Every message we sit on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, it does us no good unless we desire to apply it in our lives and use it in our lives to become more like Christ, as we heard this morning, to magnify Him. And so as we open up here tonight, I want you guys to understand this. If you've got your pens or whatever you are going to be able to maybe take notes with or highlight in your Bible, whatever it is you've got, get this. The first thing, the first desire begins with understanding that God has a purpose for your life. And look, it's not reserved until you hit 30 or anything like that. Okay? You guys don't have to sit back and wait a few more years before God's purpose appears to you. You got to understand that God has a purpose for your life daily. And it's not a mystery. Look at verse 9 again. When he says, "Since the day I heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Graduates, there's an opportunity for you to be filled with the knowledge of what God wants you to do with your lives. And it's not a mystery. You don't have to wait a few more years and go through college to understand it. Some of you have already got onto this in high school and have taken courses, not courses, but have taken some choices in your life to put you on a path that is simply the will of God. Because you found it by simply being in His Word, which He gives to us. And as you grow in that knowledge, you know, there's got to be a desire to see and to want to understand what the will of God is before you go out into the world and start chasing everything that looks good. As you guys go into college, in this next phase of your life, you're going to be presented with more than you've ever been presented with before. You know, there was that transition period, if we can all remember, going from our preteen years in middle school and the transition into high school and the new things that were presented to us and the new temptations and things. But now there's going to be a whole new set of things that are presented to you as you go into this next phase of your life as an adult. But it's got to be your desire to understand that God has a purpose and a will for your life today that you're not going to find in the world. You know, the will of God is not a mystery. And it's understood by those who seek to make themselves wise. Hold your place in Colossians and flip back to Ephesians chapter 5 with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. As I was studying this out, I came across this verse. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Look, graduates, there's an opportunity for you to understand what the will of the Lord is. to understand it, not to seek it, not to find it, not, you know, to go look under rocks until you can come across it, not to wait till you hit 30 or 35 or 40, whenever it appears. You can seek what it is. It's right here for you now. Know what it is. The Word of God is given to us for us to know it. And it's not a mystery. But you've got to be responsible to follow it as you find it right here in front of you in the Word of God. It's not a mystery. And as it's here for you, you have the responsibility with your new freedoms to follow the Lord in His Word. As we all do in here tonight, church, we all have a responsibility to follow the Word of God. We've been given the Word of God, but what are we going to do with it? We need to follow it. Make that choice. And as you set out to make some of your own choices, I can help you from making some mistakes, because there's mistakes out there that I've made. As I was in college and growing up, thinking that the will of God was something that I had to keep searching for and waiting for until I was old enough that it would simply appear. But that's not the case. You know, it's simply you living your life as a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. You know, a verse that I've come across, and graduates, you've heard it time and time again. I don't know if you can know which one I'm going to spout off yet, but 2 Corinthians 5:15. I came across this verse, you know, I've probably read over it many times, but this past year it has really hit me. And it says, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." I don't know what else the will of God is besides that right there. That you no longer live unto yourselves, but live unto Him. Graduates, church, the will of God's not a mystery. Let's just live for Him. That's not a hard thing to find. It's throughout the Bible. As we live for Him. You know, I chased false ideas as I went through college of what the will of God might be. And you guys have heard my testimony many times of how I was saved as a teenager, but I went to a few different colleges. I took a few different long trips on the road to drive from college to college and back home, and college to back home, and wherever else I wound up thinking I needed to go. Thinking that the will of God was for me to graduate college, have a good paying job, have a beautiful wife, have some kids, and just have this life that, you know, is painted for you in every motion picture you probably would ever see. But I found out the more that I was achieving that, and I did get the beautiful wife, by the way, and I got the wonderful kids, by the way. But the one thing that I found out was when I thought the will of God would be like making money and having all this, you know, comforts, there was still something missing. And it wasn't until I began getting in the Word of God diligently, in this church, by the way, in life groups, and under Pastor Dan's preaching and a lot of the other pastors that we have here, that I began to realize that what I was missing was the fact that I wasn't living for Christ, I was living for myself. I found the will of God wasn't about me, it was all about Him. And I don't want you guys to go through many years, wasted years, which I felt that I did, seeking something that wasn't there. It wasn't there. You know why I never found the will of God until I really got plugged in this church? It's because I was never looking in there for it. It's there. God's given it to us. It's not hidden. We don't have to wait for it to appear on a foggy window one morning written or anything else. It's right here in black and white. God loved us so much, He gave it to us. And so I want you guys to understand that there is no predetermined job or spouse that God has out there waiting for you. However, He's given you some guidelines to follow in seeking those things in your life. A good verse for you is Philippians 4:8, as it would be for all of us. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Man, that's just a simple, basic form of anything we do, is thinking. If we think on those things, they become a part of our life, and all those things represent who Christ is. Seek those things in your life. Understand the will of God is not a mystery. And as you do that, as you take what you know, the next thing I want you guys to understand from this text is that now you have to choose to live godly and magnify the Lord. This goes along with the message that we heard this morning from Pastor Dan, and it's by complete. I didn't plan this. I mean, I love the message this morning. It spoke to me. But part of what that message said this morning was having that desire and choosing to magnify the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says back there, turn back with me to Colossians chapter 1. And then in verse 10, after he lines out there in verse 9 about being filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, not worldly understanding, but spiritual understanding. But then he goes in and says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Teenagers, once you realize you've got the will of God right here for you, and you get into the will of God right here, and you spend time in the Bible reading and studying it, the next thing that begins to take place in your life is there in verse 10. You begin to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That needs to be a desire of all of our hearts in here tonight, that we desire to walk worthy of the Lord in everything that we do. I love that word walk because it's really the simplest form of how we move. None of us really think about walking so much. We do it. And here we see in this verse that he says that ye might walk, simply walk, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. As you begin to just grow in the Word of God and see His will for your life simply laid out in black and white to live for Him, then your life begins to model that and you can begin to magnify Christ in your life and everything that you do. The single most painful part of me in youth ministry is watching teenagers grow up in the church. And the moment that they graduate and they leave home, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Part of it might be selfishness, but I'm glad a lot of y'all are staying here. Because I fear that if you left Daytona Beach, I know what would happen. You get plugged into another college. You get plugged into a new group of friends. In church, it's the same thing happens to us many times. If we move, we might be members of this church. We move out of town. I know some close friends of mine that, you know, struggled as they move away from Daytona Beach and were plugged into this church because it's hard to find another church that just teaches the Word of God. And so I'm excited that you're staying here because it's an opportunity for you to continue to grow in this church, continue to grow and be fed the Word of God so that your life can continue to be equipped to glorify Christ. That's what we all need. And my fear is that if you moved away, it would be real easy to pull away from the Word of God. You know, we can all have the Bible with us, but if we're not in it and seeking to learn and to grow from it, it does us no good sitting on a shelf. It does us no good laying under our bed in a mattress. And so my desire is that you guys would just, as the Apostle Paul here desired, not only understand that will of God, but walk worthy of the Lord. That's been my prayer for you, that you guys walk worthy of the Lord and please Him. Don't worry about pleasing the people that sit next to you in class. Don't worry about pleasing even, parents, you might cringe, but I'll say don't even worry about pleasing your parents. The first thing you need to worry about is pleasing the Lord. You worry about pleasing the Lord, pleasing your parents, and those things will fall into place. But let your life be focused on pleasing the Lord, a life that's walking pleasing Him. You know, as you continue to grow by studying the Bible more and more, and we see that God's not working in mysterious ways, you can expect to live, or you cannot expect to live by the Word of God if you're not leaning on it daily. It's kind of like if we went on a trip, all right? Some of you have been on a missions trip with us up to Michigan. Now, we had a map to get to Michigan. Our trip was interesting. We made it, you know, flawlessly, so to speak. Maybe a few bumps. But for the most part, we made it. But when you go on a trip and you take a map, does the map do you any good if you leave it in the glove box? It doesn't do you a thing. You got your GPS, throw it in the glove box, shut the door, don't worry about it. I'm going to figure out my way how to get there. I've got it there to use, but I'm not going to use it. We've got to understand that we've got the tool to use. We need to use it. Let it be a part of our life. What could you possibly, you know, think about it. If you're going to go on a trip, you want that map. You've got the map. Well, somebody's given it to you. Might be thankful for that. Somebody gave you a GPS because you're going from Florida to Alaska. And you know you're going to get lost in between. So somebody gives you a GPS and you're thankful. Man, how much more thankful should we be for God for what He's given us in direction? Not only did Christ come and live amongst us, humbled Himself to come in the form of a man, allowed Himself to be crucified on a cross for our sins, being perfectly sinless Himself, then by the power of God, rose 3 days later, and then God still gave us His Word to instruct us and guide us. Man, I don't know what else to be thankful for than that. You watch TV programs or the commercials for, what's that, the million-dollar giveaway thing, the publishing clearinghouse or whatever. They haven't knocked on my door yet, but, you know, they claim to go and just knock on the door and give somebody $1 million, and you watch that video where they knock on the door and give the person $1 million, and that person, you probably have never seen that person so ecstatic in their life. They get that excited over $1 million. But some of us would treat having $1 million a lot more, with a lot more zeal than the way we've treated the fact that we've been given eternal life through Christ. The way that we would thank somebody for $1 million, does it compare to the way we thank our Lord and Savior for what He's done for us and what He's given us? Graduates, let your life be lived out as a way of saying thank you to God for what He's done. It's like Romans 12, 1 and 2. We talk about this a lot. It's a great verse for everyone, but I use it a lot with the teenagers. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, and he said, "Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. I love that. We don't have to be dead. Like Pastor Dan said this morning, we can live and glorify God today, here, now. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What else could we owe God for what He's done for us than our life back to Him? And then he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You guys want to prove that will of God we talked about in the first point? Man, just let your life live for Him. And as we go through Paul's prayer here and we see these things, we see that there's that desire. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to move quickly here through the rest of them. But there's that desire that he had that they would understand the will. Once they understand the will of God and the wisdom, then they simply are able to walk worthy of the Lord. And then he says, being fruitful in every good work. You guys, have a desire for your life to abound with spiritual fruit from good works. Have a desire to be able to offer up to God things that are going to magnify His name through good works that we do. And you know what I found? The more that we get in the Word of God and the more we walk worthy, as we said there in verse 10, the more we do that, the more naturally the good works come and the fruit abounds. It's not us having to work a checklist of good things. It becomes a product of our walk and our focus on Christ. The fruit that comes becomes a product of us simply being attached to Him. Never forget to take time to be a blessing to someone else, graduates in church. But graduates, as you go on in this next phase of your life, you know, your life's about to get real busy. Busier than you think it's ever been before. The days of being able to sit back and watch hours of TV, football games, baseball games, whatever they might be, sitting back and playing video games for hours or on the phones, girls, for countless hours talking to each other, there's not going to be a whole lot of time for that. Now, I know adults that do that, and they're not much more than a teenager still, but that's a side note. But here's the thing. You guys, your life's going to get busy with responsibilities, college, work, things like that. But never allow yourself to get so busy that you overlook being able to impact other people's lives and allowing Christ to be magnified through you, through just doing simple good deeds, good works, and letting that fruit abound so that Christ can be magnified. You know, as Christians, we see, and for sake of time, we won't turn that, but Ephesians 2:10 and even Titus 2:14, we see that good works is a part of the Christian life. In Ephesians, we see that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And in Titus 2:14, we see that He gave Himself for a people to be zealous of good works. We need to desire to have good works. We want to desire to have good works because as we do things that magnify God, other people can see who He is. It's because of our desire. And as we saw there in Colossians, that was Paul's prayer. That as they walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And then he said, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love that. As I studied it out, many times you study through the Bible and you'll just kind of throw things aside. Well, he's talking about the knowledge of God. He already talked about the will of God earlier and the knowledge. But the more I studied it, the more I found that the Apostle Paul was going deeper. Not just knowing the will of God, but really now beginning to know God. The knowledge of God. Just how great and magnificent He is. And as I studied that passage out, I realized that we need to grow in our knowledge daily. And graduates, my desire for you is to grow daily. Set that time aside. You know, back in Proverbs chapter 2, I already got my bookmarker there. I cheated knowing that I was going to get there and have to do it quick. But Proverbs chapter 2, I love this passage in verse 1. I'll just read it if you guys want to listen up. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." I love in that passage how he relates in when he says there in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, seekest knowledge and wisdom, understanding, seekest as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How diligently are we seeking to understand and gain knowledge of God, of who He is? We've got to be doing that in our lives daily, seeking out who He is. And truthfully, I'm here today because I've been doing that in my life. This wasn't the path that I had, like I said a minute ago, planned in my life. But the more I realized who God was and what He's done for me, the more my life began to change, allowing Him and seeking His knowledge. And then the Apostle Paul back there in Colossians, after he talks about growing in the knowledge of God, you've got to have a dependence on the power of God for strength. We've got to depend on God for all of our strength. You know, as you know more about God, and it becomes easier to depend on Him. It's so cool how these things begin to build on each other. Once you understand that His will is not a hidden secret, and you begin to walk worthy of Him, you begin to be filled, and you begin to be fruitful in your good works and increasing in the knowledge of God, then you begin being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, verse 11 says. You're not going to be strengthened by anything else in this world other than God working in you and relying on Him. There's, you know, things will not always go your way. I think all of us in here tonight could attest that things don't always go your way. But your happiness in the matter will only depend on where you're pulling your strength from and what you're setting your focus on. Graduates, depend on God in everything that you do. And even every trial that you face, you're going to realize when you depend on God, you can still have peace, joy, and happiness in the midst of every trial. You can still magnify God. Magnify Christ in you through every one of them as you depend on Him for strength. Church, we've got to depend on Christ in our life for everything that we go through. A total dependence on Him. If you're seeking strength from worldly things like even drugs and alcohol, you're going to find yourself slipping further away and becoming less and less patient and much less happy. Because those things aren't going to give you anything like what God can give you. It becomes natural to depend on God as you grow in knowledge of Him. The more you know about God and His love, His grace and His mercy and His power, the more you see that it's ludicrous to ever think that you can depend on anything else. God is so good that He doesn't just show how great a strength He has, but He also offers it freely to every one of us. He's given us His strength and His power to glorify Him and live for Him here. But we've got to take it. It's our responsibility to make the choice. And we see there with verse 11, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power. As we continue to know Him, know more about His goodness, His grace, and His mercy, and we walk with Him because we've understood that His will is not a mystery. And finally, it leads to kind of verse 12. And I've kind of touched on it already. When somebody gives you something so great, you don't do anything but want to give them thanks. When somebody gives their life for you, it should make you want to do nothing but give thanks continually. Amen. And we see here, he says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has given us something we did not deserve. Our lives should be modeled to be thanksgiving for Him. You know, the last thing that comes to my mind as you reflect on your life is how great God is, and continue to know Him more and desire to be thanked. You know, we started with that understanding of the will of God and it ends with giving thanks to Him. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It even says, "In everything give thanks for what? This is the will of God." And it's not a mystery, is it? It's all throughout the Bible. Part of God's will is us just to give thanks. Man, does He deserve anything else? I mean, He deserves everything we've got. And He's asking just for thanks. I think we can handle that. We're given so much, you know, from God, and He's revealed to us all that we need to know in order to magnify Christ. But it's up to us. It's up to each and every one of us to make the choice to seek that knowledge of His will and to grow. Graduates, it's up to you to take these things. I can pray for you all day long. I can pray for each of you by name every day. But unless you make a choice in your heart to follow and seek after the Lord, spend time in His Word, to know Him, to grow, to learn, my prayers for you can't take care of your entire life for you. I won't quit praying for you. But you've got to have a desire in your heart to give your life unto Christ every day. You know, I remember the day that I was saved. That wasn't the only day that I went to the Lord and said, "Lord, here's my life. Take it. I can't do it. I need You." Every day, that's part of my prayer in the morning when I start. Graduates, don't forget that. A dependence. We all need to be depending on Christ daily. And I desire to see us all as Christians at every stage of our life to live unto Christ completely and magnify Him in all that we do. And as graduates, you're going to be entering into a new stage. And as you enter into that new stage, you're going to be given opportunities to either magnify Christ or to, as the Apostle Paul says many times, that he wasn't ashamed. You can be ashamed and hide. You'll be given the opportunities. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? Many of us in here have the same question facing us every day. What are we going to do with our day to magnify Christ? The opportunities we have. How are we going to see the opportunities? It's only going to be by seeking the knowledge of His will through the Bible and choosing to live our lives in a way that's going to magnify Christ. And as you do this, the rest just seems to naturally follow. The good works, the fruit, the magnifying, all that begins to just naturally flow through us. You know why? Because, teenagers, it's Christ living through you. It's no longer you. But church, it's up to each and every one of us to live that way. And so if you would go ahead and close your Bibles, and I just want to have a moment of prayer. And as we've heard from the Word of God tonight, I want us all to be challenged with what are we seeking in for the will of God? Are we just looking around? Are we realize that it's right here? It's not a mystery. Graduates, you've been given the will of God. We gave you a copy of it tonight. But what are you going to do with it? It's up to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to come to You now and I want to pray for our graduates specifically, Lord. I thank You for them, Lord, and the impact that they've been in my life. But Lord, I want You, God, to be glorified in their lives. But I know, Lord, that my prayers for them to glorify You isn't going to make them glorify You, Lord. It's going to be their decision in their heart to live for You. And Lord, I know that's not just my prayer for these graduates. It's my prayer for everybody in here that knows You personally, that God, we would desire to live for You and magnify You in everything that we do. And whatsoever we do, Lord, we would bring glory to You. And so, Lord, I just want to commit this night unto You. I thank You, God, for an opportunity to be able to give a challenge and a charge from Your Word. But Lord, I pray that I never be able to give a charge from Your Word unless I allow You to charge me first with it, Lord. And I thank You for that. And God, I pray that this message tonight might change some as it's changed me, Lord, and we be just conformed to You and allow You to live through us to magnify You. In Christ's name, amen.